As I mentioned earlier, I wanted to share an aspect, an insight on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that you get a chance to know him a little bit better. And by knowing him better, then that can really help your spiritual walk.
Bless you.
You know, what he did for all mankind, making available the new birth reality, is astounding, to say the least, huh? Amazing what that one man did for all mankind is phenomenal. And every aspect of what God did to bring to pass Genesis 3:15. And of course, Genesis 3:15 is after the fall of man and God making a promise to redeem man with the Messiah. And that promise of a deliverer turned out to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the more you know and understand the fullness of what Jesus did to accomplish our salvation unto eternal life, the more you can walk and manifest the vast numbers of promises that God has given us in his word that connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the works I do, you shall do, and greater works shall you do when I go to my Father. Jesus Christ said that. So as we get to know him and appreciate him, I believe the more we'll be able to do those wonderful works for him. You know, it's like anything in life, that it's getting to know a new person. Now, Al was telling me he's on the jury duty, and there's a lady there that he sits next to you, I guess, and he's kind of connecting with and finding out a little bit more about her. I guess it's going to be a long case, so he says, I've got plenty of time to, you know, get to know her and be able to share the word with her. And so, but again, the more time goes on and they communicate, he'll get to know her better and better. And I think about getting a new car. Of course, I haven't had a new car for a while. But I remember when we did get our Mazda here, what, 5, 6, no.
10 years.
9 years ago. You know, it had all these things in there. And it was pretty nice having them, but I didn't know how to use it. And what they did, half of it. So it took a while, right, to get to know those little gizmos and this dial and what this is. And I'm sure I'll find out some new things still yet that I don't know about that car. So I think this is really true when it comes to spiritual matters as well, and about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, some of the things that he is and what he's called to be. So I'm listening. If you know any thought, yes?
So something we don't think much about is that he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah. High priest, Melchizedek. What else can you think about our Lord and Savior and his aspects and titles that he may have? Yeah.
He refers to himself as, I'm the good shepherd.
He's a good shepherd, right.
I'm going to put this incorporated too. He's our advocate.
He's our advocate. Yeah. He's our advocate. He's our redeemer, right? He's so many, many things. I mentioned a little bit earlier about going online and finding this guy. He said there's 100 different things that Jesus Christ is or calls himself. And they were pretty neat to see him, but
the way, the truth, and the life.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the bread of life.
The comforter.
He's the comforter. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's our mediator. He's called the Rose of Sharon. He's the our Savior. He's our rock. He's our Redeemer. So many things. And the one thing I want to share with you tonight that really connects with this time of year is he's our Passover lamb. And so if you want to look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Here, 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump." That's another story. We won't go there tonight. But as it goes on, it says, "As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So what does that mean, that he is our Passover and he sacrificed for us? Well, let's look at some other verses and let's find out, what does this mean, that he is our Passover lamb? In John, Gospel of John 1:29, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So, called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then in verse 36, it says, "And looking unto Jesus as he walks, he says, Behold, the Lamb of God." So what does this mean? What's the significance of Jesus Christ being the Passover Lamb or the Lamb of God? In 1 Peter 1:18, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." So here we're seeing he's a lamb, and he has no blemish, no spot. He was a perfect specimen of a lamb, and it was his precious blood that was spilt that redeemed mankind, not corruptible things like silver and gold. So what it means in light of the Passover is what's mentioned in the Old Testament. And if you are familiar with a little bit of the history in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel got into Egypt, and that's a long story in itself, where Joseph did some things, and the children of Israel ended up in Egypt for a long period of time. They were well favored in the beginning, but as years went on, they became slaves to Pharaoh, right? And who was it that God sent to deliver his people from Egypt?
Moses.
Moses, right? Moses. And to get Pharaoh to let those folks go, he had to do some plagues, right? Mm-hmm. How many do you remember?
Ten
plagues. And the last one finally got the attention of the Pharaoh. And what I'd like to do is share with you from this book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, by Dr. Werwolf, and where he shares about the Passover and this tenth and final plague. In the tenth and final plague, the angel of death, the destroyer, passed through the entire land of Egypt and killed the firstborn of every household, both humans and animals. To provide protection from the angel of death for the children of Israel, God instructed the people of Israel to sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed lamb on the two side posts of the house and on the upper doorpost called the lintel. The destroyer, upon seeing the blood, had to pass over that house and could not destroy its firstborn. Hence, the sacrificial lamb was called the Passover lamb. In carrying out this commandment from God to use the slain lamb, The children of Israel protected themselves from the destroyer. And the 12th chapter of Exodus relates all this information. And I'm going to read this. This is Exodus chapter 12. And it's verse 1. He doesn't read all the verses here, quotes them. So I'm just going to read from what he has here in this chapter 12 of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, not sodden, boiled, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence, the innards thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of at the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, your houses, to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? You shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. So, I mean, even today you hear about, the Jewish religion still does the Passover. They have the Passover feast, and they still do this. There are two significant aspects of this Passover lamb, its flesh and its blood. The flesh was to be roasted and eaten. And eating the lamb's flesh, the believing children of Israel were in reality eating physical health to themselves. When the children of Israel left Egypt after eating the Passover, as commanded by God, there was not one feeble person among them. While partaking of the flesh of the lamb brought health to the people of Israel, the sprinkling of the blood of the lamb was also significant. It was the lamb's blood sprinkled on the lintels and doorposts which caused the destroyer to pass over them, sparing them. The shedding of the lamb's blood was representative of the atonement or the covering for sin. By the shedding of blood, the children of Israel were spared from the consequences of their sin. This truth of atonement by shed blood can be seen both in Leviticus and Hebrews. And I'll share Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So, you know, in the blood is life. And so this was happened way back when, and then as time went on, Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb. His perfect blood paid for the sins of all mankind. And so very significant that we recognize him as our Passover lamb. And we can be very thankful and blessed for what he did and what God had him to do so that we could have a perfect redemption unto eternal life. In Exodus, a few verses here I want to share with you in light of this. Exodus 12:3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So if there's a small household, they shared the lamb, okay? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Let me make a note here. It says in the evening, and in the Hebrew text, it means between the evenings. And as the sun would go down, they saw that the new day would start. Of course, in their calendar, the new day started at sunset. When does our new day start?
In the morning dawn.
In the middle of the night, midnight. Yeah. But at sunset starts a new day. So this is what they're saying here. Before, as the sun starts going down, before the new day, you kill the Passover lamb. And what is so significant is the timing of our Lord and Savior's death. Because he was chosen. He came in when he showed himself. They were choosing the Passover lamb. And when he came into the city, he was showing himself to be the ultimate Passover lamb. And he was chosen on that 10th day. On the 14th day, they killed that lamb. And when they were killing the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ was dying on the cross at that exact same time. On the 14th of Nisan is what they call it. And so the timing and the significance of what he did being our Passover lamb is just perfect. Yeah, phenomenal. So we have a perfect Lord and Savior. We have a perfect redemption. Now that you know this, does that not help you in your mind and appreciation of what God has done for you through Jesus Christ? Yes. And now you can believe him bigger. You can trust him more. Because you see that God in his ways is so loving and kind, so perfect with his redemption with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see the perfection. You see the details. And the more we see that, and the more we see God's word fit, the greater we can believe it. And we should believe it, because it is the truth. And that's why it's good for us to continue to keep our head in the Word, to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. That's why I love speaking in tongues, Because when I speak in tongues, I know I hear, oh, I got the Spirit in me. I'm speaking in tongues. I know that Christ died for me. He shed his perfect blood for me. I'm his and he is mine. And so with this kind of thinking, we can just walk even greater than ever before with our Heavenly Father, okay? So God really loves us, doesn't he? Look what he did for us. I mean, you see what he did for the children of Israel to get them out of Egypt. And then look what he did for us to sacrifice his perfect son, that he became our Passover lamb. So just phenomenal. So I'd like to play a song here just to close out. I'd like for you just to listen and pray and be thankful for what God has done for you through Christ.
Troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and rest here in the silence until you come and stay you while with me. You raise me up so I can stand. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly, but when you come and I am filled with wonder, I know I glimpse and taste eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on the street.
Father. Thank you for how you brought us to be in your family, that we can truly call you Father and we can be called your sons and daughters. And we're thankful for that, the perfect blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he was truly our Passover lamb, paid the ultimate price. And so, Father, realizing this, I pray that we can rise up to be our best for you, that we can trust you, that we can see you work mightily in our life. We can have great expectations because we know you. We know your love, your care for us, and what you've done to bring us in the family. So we sure love you, Father, and are grateful that we can have this wonderful lifestyle for eternity. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.